Hello and welcome to season two of Conscious Leadership. Today we will be joined by a very special guest, Tanza Christian. She is a licensed financial educator, a retired nurse. Tanza is an insurance broker. She's a wealth manager in the state of California, as well as 38 neighboring states. She helps individuals and families and business owners to optimize their financial stance through education of the financial concepts that are used to create protection in one's life, like income in the event of an unexpected life occurrence, such as loss of income or illness. Tanza has achieved a consistent success in her firm through coaching and mentoring and leading successful growth teams. So we will learn a little bit more about Tanza and her transition from being a nurse into the financial sector and what made her take that leap, take that jump. And so I'm so excited to dive deep with her and all of you so that you can understand how to have a very successful financial future. Welcome to Conscious Leadership, the podcast where we tap into the heart of impactful leadership, one conscious step at a time. I'm your host, Dakota Lima, and together we'll explore the realms of self-awareness, empowerment, and purpose-driven leadership. Get ready to ignite your leadership potential and make a positive difference in your life and the life of those you lead. Please help me welcome Tanza Christian. So hello, hello, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, Tanza. Can you please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? I gave you a little introduction, but let's hear it in your own words.
Well, first off, Dakota, thank you so very much for providing this platform for women, for voices to be heard. And I just think everybody has such a unique story. And thank you for allowing me to share mine with your listeners today. My name is Tanza Christian. I reside here in Northern California. I am the proud wife to my amazing husband of 21 years and to our beautiful union. We have five children, four girls, one boy, ranges from 26 to 16. And currently what I do, my husband and I run a large financial firm. We now have expanded in all 30 states. But prior to that, I come from a medical background. I was a registered nurse executive after 19 years, and I kind of switched gears about 4 years ago. So now I'm helping people, but just in a different area. Born and raised in Mississippi, and that's just a little bit about me.
So what made you change? Because nursing is a great career field. So like everyone knows, nursing is great. You can make a great income. It's stable. Yeah. What made you take that transition or that jump from being a nurse to finance?
That's a very good question. And I get that question a lot. And because everybody I talk to is like, I want to be a nurse. Like, what are you doing? And it is a very noble and very honorable career. And I absolutely loved it. For me personally, the reason why I decided to transition was personal reasons. Number one, I found myself with two seniors, a sophomore, and my daughter in middle school. And I have always believed in proper planning when it comes to finances. So my husband and I have always had financial advisors, professionals, those types of individuals helping us to put plans together. However, I often felt like I was being talked at and not really talked to. And that was because I didn't have a place to pull from of understanding. So literally everything that was said, I felt like I just had to say yes, because I didn't know what to ask and what not to say no to. So I found myself saying yes. And I said, you know what, honey, I don't really know any of this stuff. I don't know if it's going to add all up in the future. So it's for personal reasons. I moved from Mississippi to California. Double my salary, double my income, double the opportunity, but at my time with my family was less and taxes was more, and still things just wasn't adding up. So I said, honey, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you keep, but I also want to make sure I'm spending time with my family. So I set on a personal path to begin educating myself on what options I can give to myself and my family. And that is kind of what led me on the journey of financial literacy.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes complete sense. You're like, hey, we're making all this money, but the math ain't mathing. You're like, it's not adding up. Something's missing here. Yes. And no, yeah. That's a great point that you make is, you know, sometimes you go to people for advice because you know, okay, I don't know anything. But like you said, I'm just saying yes because I don't know. But how do I know what I'm saying yes to? Even if they kind of explain it to you, sometimes you're just like, it's like you kind of feel like they're, you don't really have an option. So makes a great point. So with your business now, so now you educate people on financial literacy so that they don't feel the way you felt, like they don't have a choice or they don't have an option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the first step in financial planning is educating. And that is because majority of us are not, we don't have a basis to pull from, meaning it's not taught in school. We don't really get it in college. You know, I took business statistics, I took all of those things. I do have an MBA and an MHA, and I didn't learn anything about finances, even at the graduate level. So when it's assumed socially that because you have all of the alphabets behind your name, and you own a home and you make multiple six figures, you have to know about money. But the truth of the matter is a lot of us is just trying to figure it out. And it's through trial and error as well.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because, you know, as a business owner, even like when I first started out, there were so many things that I didn't know. Like I jumped in just saying, oh, I just want to be a business owner. And then I got in and I'm like, whoa, like what is going on? There's so much terminology. There's so many different avenues that you can take, you know, and then trying to just differentiate between marketing and sales. Like there's so much little intricacies that it's like, it can be overwhelming for people who, if you're not versed or if you're not educating yourself in those things, you know? So, you know, I've read a few books on finance just so I can kind of understand the basics, and same thing, like in school, I had to take accounting for my degree. I had to take statistics for my degree, but those classes don't prepare you for the things that you need to do, like when it comes to organizing your finances for business ventures or just for whether it's real estate or investing in just in general.
Exactly.
You know, like they don't talk about investments. They just tell you how to balance and, you know, checks and balances. And so it's like such basics. It is such basics that, but it's so important because I hear so many people decide to become entrepreneurs or decide to become business owners for financial freedom.
Yeah.
But they don't know anything about finance. So then
it's ironic. Yeah. It's ironic. And then they find themselves in a situation where they started a business and it's so much out there as far as a business structure. 2020 has produced more entrepreneurs than any other decade, right? Oh, yeah. We're just 4 years in. But when I often find myself talking to my clients and just individuals about business, it's, I don't even have the proper structure. Like, okay, what is the difference between an LLC and a C Corp? And how do I pay myself? I'm not even paying myself. Oh my goodness. Well, how do I, my taxes is different. And do I do a W-2, a 1099? What do I do for benefits?
Oh my God. Yes. And so everything you're saying is like the stuff that I was like, wait, oh my God, what is all this? Yes. It's so true.
It's so much, you know, because now we don't have the group umbrella, you know, when it comes from our employers. And it's a lot of things we have to plan. A lot of things, but oftentimes in the beginning stages, all we're thinking about is bringing in revenue, right? We're bringing in revenue, we're bringing in the money. But it's a lot. It's a lot when it comes to business structure and just finances. So I like to just sum it up by saying one of the things when I do my education with my clients in my community, I say, you know, financial literacy is not one thing. It's not, I have a 401k, I have an IRA, I have, you know, a 529 for my kids, or I have, you know, a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA. Financial literacy is everything. And the reason why I say that is because whether you're in real estate, whether you want to do real estate development, flip homes, whether you want to start a nonprofit organization, whether you want to send your kids to college or buy a home, it takes money. It takes money. So in order to talk the money game, you have to have the right verbiage. And that is what's needed in the community.
Yeah. You know, It's true because one of the things that I wanted to educate myself on was negotiations.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when you're going into the corporate space and you're trying to close corporate contracts to get these consulting, you know, like you said, the verbiage. And, you know, I lost a lot of opportunities in the very beginning stages of my career because because I didn't know.
Yeah.
From, you know, Same. You don't know what you don't know. Same. And it wasn't until I started to seek out knowledge and information from people like yourself or people mm-hmm. who know mm-hmm. that I was like, whoa, like there's a lot that I don't know. So your program, is it like an online program or is it like a coaching program one-on-one or like how does it that you work with?
So most of the time I meet with my clients one-on-one because people are really private, you know, 95% of the time about their finances. And it's often a topic that we want to be seen, not don't dig too deep. So I do a lot of webinars. Like this Saturday, my friend and I, she's actually a tax professional in like 15 different states. We do webinars at least two to three times a month. This Saturday, I'm doing one on retirement and taxes. So of course, I'm covering the retirement portion. She'll be talking about the taxes. And then from there, we'll reach out to individuals one-on-one. But I do a lot of group sessions. I am located, like I said, in here in Northern California. So my office is Walnut Creek. We do a lot of lunches learned throughout the week. But it's just a general overview. And then we meet with individuals one-on-one to kind of talk about what their specific plans are. What I found after doing this for 5 years is that everybody has a goal to achieve financial freedom, right? Yeah. But what that quantifies to is different for every family. And where they are on that journey, you have to meet them where they are. And sometimes it's basic budgeting. You know, 70% of individuals operate without a budget. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's just that. So listen, let's just work on your basic budgeting. Yes, we want to invest. Yes, we want to get out of debt, but let's work on basic budgeting and set up emergency funds. So there are steps to the planning and process, but yes, classes, but one-on-one for putting together personalized plans.
Oh, I love how you said that. So it's a misconception a lot of times. And once you start talking about finance, people think, oh, well, I don't make enough money, so I can't talk to a financial advisor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm sure you hear this all the time. That's when you need them the most.
That is exactly when you need them the most. You know why? Because 99% of us use our skill set to bring in money.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're using your skill set right now. Right? Everybody's using their skill set that we acquired through experience or degrees to make money. Mm-hmm. So what I educate everyone on is this. Well, Tanza, I don't have the finances. I said, okay, I hear you. All I have is $50 a month. I said, okay, how much do you make per year? Well, on my job, I make about $180,000 a year. I said, okay, how much of that $180,000 do you need to go into your household to make it run every day? They said 100%. I said, okay. So then where we need to think about adding protection first is on you. Because if you take you out of the equation,
you're done.
How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to pay your car note? How are the kids going to get to school every day? And so that is the number one topic is when I begin educating clients is that you are your biggest asset, but you're also your biggest liability.
Yeah.
We have to protect you first in order so you can bring in the income needed. So before we talk about anything, it's first start with proper protection.
I love that. So to bust any bubbles out there, you don't have to make over $100,000 a year just to get a financial advisor. We can start at the basic level with getting you a budget, getting you just to start learning, start understanding the information, the terminology, just what's out there. Because I think that's the other thing is people don't even understand what's out there for them, like the opportunities that they have to invest. You know, they you know, even if you're like, oh, okay, I only have a little bit of money, even if you're just putting up $20, $10 to start.
It's about a half. about creating.
And that's going to grow. That's going to grow.
I agree. It's you have to start where you are. And if you don't start, we're getting older and older every year. And at some point in time, we're going to have more years behind us than we do in front of us. So the time to start planning is now. And what I love about how our firm operates is all of our consultations are free. Like, you can literally call and I want a free consultation. Great. Like, that takes away, can I afford it? Can I do? No, there is no entry level in which you need to make. Everybody gets the same care and all the consultations are free because everybody needs to know. It's about education.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm going to ask you some questions because I know you run this company. So I'm sure, do you have like a team that's under you? So what are some things that you as a leader of your company that you find that you face sometimes as a woman in the financial space?
Yeah. So we do have a team. And my consultation, a lot of times when I'm meeting with, we're meeting with my clients, a lot of times they have the desire to save, but they don't really have the financial means or extra income to do so. So that's also one of the areas we focus on is helping them increase their cash flow. And one of the ways to increase their cash flow is that they can also become a licensed financial professional. And that is what ultimately helped me retire and get my time back. So I always offer that as well. Because it's better than going out and getting like a second and third job. So we do have a team. Our team right now is about 75 individuals. And I find that coming from a management background in healthcare and also to coming from a regional executive position in healthcare, corporate America, it's very different. It's very different running a team because you get to design the culture you want. And any business, whether it is a business you started or your job, you don't really have control over the culture. And I think that any successful business, the culture you want has to start with not a dialogue. If people have a buy-in on what they want the company to see, then you have to ask them for their like opinion and their input. So for me being a woman, my husband is also in business with me as well. But one of the challenges in corporate America I found is that kind of how did you get here or how do you belong? My degrees got me into rooms. My experience got me into rooms and I was sitting at tables that I didn't own and I felt like I didn't have a voice. So I was literally sitting there. At some point in my career, I felt like I was made to hold a position, but not really have an input. And that wasn't okay with me. So now running our own company, having our own culture, everybody has a voice. Everybody has a voice because I can't design a cookie cutter plan that works for you. Maybe you don't want to retire at 65. Maybe you don't want to work 16 hours a day if you don't have to. So how can I individually personalize a plan for you and within our team? Maybe your goal is just to make an extra $500 a month, or maybe your goal is to retire. Maybe you just want to pay for your kids' tuition or get out of student loan debt. Let's design a roadmap for you to be able to achieve that. So I would definitely say the challenges in corporate America was way different than the challenges I face here. But of course, in the financial industry, you're not traditionally used to seeing women, especially not women of color, right? But what I found is within my clients, they are of multiple backgrounds, multiple of economic and social status. And I realized very quickly that people respect knowledge. The moment you open your mouth, they just need to know, do you know what you're talking about? How accessible are you? And can I trust you?
Yeah.
One of the key things in business, when I'm mentoring my team and individuals, I'll say, if people like you, Dakota, they will listen to you.
Yeah.
But if they trust you, they will do business with you.
Yeah.
So trust is huge.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like that has to do with the way you communicate. So like you were saying, like people want to know that you're knowledgeable, that you have that information. Yeah. And so you could have the information in your head, but can you communicate it in a way that they can understand it? You know, because sometimes, you know, you can come across people that you're like, oh yeah, he's smart, but I have no idea what he said.
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea what she said. I'm so lost, you know? You got to be able to communicate that at different levels because, like you said, you're going to run across people who are like, oh, I know nothing.
Yes.
And then you're going to run across people who are like, who are pretty well versed. So you're like, okay, I can help both of you because I have that information in me. Yeah.
I love that. That is so true. You know, you will come across multiple because people are, like I said, are on different journeys when it comes to understanding where they are and where they need to be.
Yeah.
It's a part of us, a majority of us feels like we're already behind, but it's, especially in the financial industry, it's already intimidating, but you have to be able to, and I hate the word dumb it down because then that makes you feel, I hate that word, but you have to be able to bring it down to a level at which they can understand. And like you said, articulating it.
Yeah.
So it's not intimidating, but inviting.
No, and it's so true. And like, I like to look at it more on level of frequency, just because, you know, I'm all about energy. So. And so for me, I'm like, okay, like I understand that the more I put into myself, the higher my frequency is just because I'm gaining knowledge. I'm gaining understanding about things versus the basics. You know, and so it is not to say that you're better. No, but when you have that knowledge and understanding, it does raise your frequency because it does a few different things. Now, you know, like what you were saying before. Oh, well, I was like, they're talking at me. No, I know. Like now I know I'm educating.
Yes.
So now you're showing up completely different in this higher vibration of energy that people are like, oh, I want to hear what she has to say. She knows what she's talking about, you know, versus like you were saying, oh, I'm sitting in this room and I don't belong here. No, this is my table. This is my room.
Yes. I love that. I love that. It's so true. It's so, so true. You know, like you said, operating at a higher frequency, some people, AKA confidence, right?
Confidence.
But you have to be willing to invest in yourself, and that is going to create that higher frequency. That is going to create and attract the individuals that you want to attract to you and begin to have those higher level conversations. But yes, you have to invest in yourself, bring value to the table, and people understand value. So yes, I'm all about adding value to yourself. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, you're a family woman. Like you said, you run this business with your husband.
Yeah.
You guys have amazing children. So you're building legacy. You're at this point, it's like you went from a career, a very successful career to, okay, now I'm a legacy builder. Now I'm setting things up for my children and I'm helping other people do the same thing. And I feel like that shift is, like you said, as a nurse, because I went to nursing school. I was a medic in the military.
Oh,
all about being a medic. Yes, I was a medic in the military.
I can't even imagine. You get everything raw.
So I know, I understand that transition like you did. Yeah. Like there's a difference of the servant mindset that you have when you're in the medical field versus in the corporate space. I feel like you're still in that serving. You're still serving as a leader no matter where you are, but you're looking at things different. I feel like in medical, you just tend to have a little bit more empathy, whereas in business, people tend to not have as much empathy.
Yeah.
And so like being able to make that shift and that transitioned, when I first came in, I was very much like, okay, I got to be hardcore masculine. Like I took all my military, like thinking like, I gotta be like this,
yeah,
this, you know, because this is business. This is business. You know, like it's business. And then I felt like I was like beating my head. Like it was like very out of alignment because I didn't know, you know, and then as I started to learn more and as I started to research and I understood that what's really going to showcase those things is for you to be true to yourself. You know, and so like you making that decision to shift out of this discomfort, because it would have been easy for you to stay there. Like you said, you were at a table.
Oh, yeah.
You were in the executive. You were already high achieving. So most people would say, you already made it. Like, what are you trying to do something else for? But something in you knew there was something like that wasn't your purpose.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't your purpose. And your purpose was to share your story, to let other people know and to see, to be a face, because I feel like there aren't a lot of women of color in one, as business owners, two, in the financial sector, and three, running businesses with their husband and like as a family. So like all of those things are there. You're showing that the stereotype doesn't have to be true.
Absolutely.
And that we can take the narrative and create the narrative that we want. We don't have to just be there. We can say, you know what? This table, I'm not the right fit for this one.
That's right.
I'm not the right fit for this one, but I'm going to build this legacy so that I'm going to make my own. And I love that. And I, because we need it.
Yeah.
Our culture needs it. We need the understanding. We need the knowledge. You know, we've been conditioned for so many years to believe that we are not worthy and we're not enough and we can't, and it's unreachable and it's so far away. And all it really is just being able to have enough courage to step out in faith and learn.
Yeah.
It's really just about learning, embracing that learning culture is what I feel is the difference. You know, they say knowledge is power, but it really is.
It's when it's applied, right? When it's applied.
Yes, applied. There you go.
Because we can also be a walking library too. And we can go to all the conferences, all the seminars. I know last year I went to probably 10 conferences. You know, highlighting Woman Evolve was just so amazing in Dallas. But I did so Invest Fest. A lot of these things were just about me adding value to myself and also being in the space. But it is so important to know the difference between your purpose and your career, right? It's okay to have a 9-to-5, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And you can do them simultaneously too, but you have to begin to ask yourself, what is it that I like about this, right? So for me, I had to sit with it and ask myself, what is it that you really like about nursing? Like, what is it, like, what is the real reason you decide to pursue nursing? And it, for me, the answer was, I just love to help people. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point within my career, I didn't feel as if I was helping people anymore.
Yeah.
Because I saw too many individuals wanting access to healthcare, but didn't have it. I saw too many individuals having to choose between staying by their spouse's bedside when they were at their last hour, or going to work because they had to pay the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And all I could do is think, I took these vows as a wife to say, in sickness and in health, to death do us part.
Yeah.
But it's not death that does most couples apart. It's sickness. And death. When that sickness and death too. And when that's and debt. Yeah. And when that happens, it will be nice to be able to sit for days. And working in the ICU, I've taken care of patients that have been there for weeks and months.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to physically be there when the bills stop coming. There's so many reasons we can give the banking institutions and our PG&E and our light and water the reason why we're not making the payment. But at some point, you're going to have to go back to work. And that is what I saw. And in that, I saw me. I said, well, God forbid if something happens to me, how long would my family survive without me in it? Yeah. How long can my husband stay by my side and comfort me without having to worry about the bills running and eating in his back? Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is them, but tons is also you. So it was a huge self-reflection for me. And that's really what propelled me. It's like, you're not as comfortable as you think you are. You're not as comfortable as you think you are, and you have to learn it and pass it on to as many families as possible. They probably ran the same trajectory as you. They did everything right, socially, educationally, but something is still missing. And that's ultimately the peace of mind with when it comes to finances. So,
yeah, no, it's true. It's so true. It's so true. our conditionings, they hold us back in so many different ways that we don't really understand until you really take the time to start reflecting on them. And so, like you said, take the time to ask yourself if you really are truly happy, if you feel fulfilled in what you're doing, if it's actually meeting your needs.
Yeah. You
know, financially too, you know, because sometimes we just do a job just because you're doing the job, but you're just getting by still, still just getting by. So could you give some advice for aspiring leaders, please? Or individuals who are just looking to take those steps, like, you know, those next steps, whether it be in their, with their finances or, you know, just trying to set up legacy for their family and they want to get out of the situations that they're in.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I would say is sit down with someone that you trust, right? Whether you have to sit down with someone that you trust, but not just where you trust, if they actually have the roadmap as evidenced by, like, are they living the life and meeting the goals in which you want? Because it's hard for someone to coach you on a path that they've never traveled and they haven't achieved. So first seek out a mentor, seek out someone that is doing what you want to accomplish and ask them to mentor you. There is a huge difference in having a mentor and having a coach, right? So definitely seek out a mentor. A coach, you're not supposed to like them, right? Your coach is on your, you know, like that's why they have so many accountability coaches, right? Especially in fitness, right? Because it's like, call me if I'm not there at 6 a.m. You're like, oh my goodness, right? So we all need that accountability coach. And that person is just going to hold you to what you said you need to do in that time frame. So I would definitely say seek out a mentor. Definitely have a coach. It's someone that's not going to, you know, be all nicey-nicey with you, because we do need that wake-up call every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, you know, looking at, before you even sit down with a mentor, you have to know what you want. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, because I do a lot of mentoring, it's, I don't know what I want. It's hard to mentor someone who don't really know what their end goal looks like, because we're so, life has been life, right? Life is life, and it is life more than it ever has. I mean, already this year, it started out with a bang, but sit down and be able to reflect and say, where am I now? What's going on now that is preventing me from achieving who I'm being called to be? You have to look at that. And then once you have those things written down, then look for a mentor. Hey, you know, I would love to set up a time to speak with you so that you can help me, you know, with achieving my goal. What steps did you take? What steps did you take? And not necessarily follow it to the T, because maybe your family dynamics is different. Maybe your financial dynamics is different. And don't beat yourself up, but you have to have a goal. You have to know where you're going. And also too, in leadership, this is one of the things my husband loves to say, is in leadership, you have to first learn to lead your ship, right? So where are you going? Where are you going? It's hard to lead someone without clear instruction, direction of where you're going first. So you've taken the time to invest, create, and being able to operate at a higher frequency, you know, reading the books, getting into the right environment, changing your circle, you know, changing your circle, being around individuals who are speaking life into you. You know, so often when we're considering shifting careers or moving forward, we are talking to our immediate circle, which may be friends and family. Oftentimes when we're having these high level conversations with individuals who've seen us at our worst, oftentimes they feel validated that they can speak to where you came from, and also dictate to where you're going based off of where they've seen you at. You don't need that, because your beginning doesn't always dictate your future. And we know that. But if you have grown so much and that potential is right there, you have to meet with a mentor that is seeing you where you are and that can guide you to where you need to be. And that is also a key thing, is mental. Your circle is so important, and being surrounded by individuals that can speak life into you is so key, because the world is not, it's noisy. Oh, yeah. The world will have you thinking that you need to stay busy and be surrounded by noise. And that's not always the case. So definitely sitting within yourself or your trusted circle, and always remember to lead yourself first when it comes to leading and leadership.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Tell your husband I'm going to take that. Lead your ship first.
I use it all the time. I'm always, because I can constantly hear him in my ear. He's always, yeah.
You know, that's a good one. You know, I talk to leaders all the time, so I'm gonna use that one.
Yeah. I'll tell him I've shared it yet again today. So, yeah.
I love that. Well, please, I'm going to put your links in the description box as well, but please let our listeners know, just so they can hear, how they can get in touch with you for anyone who is inquiring just for some questions or for a free consultation.
Sure, absolutely. So you can always reach out to me on Instagram. My IG handle is @Tanza_Christian_CEO. And within my bio is a link, a Calendly link. I think most people are familiar with Calendly. You can book a free consultation there, one-on-one with me, and sit down with me and let's, you know, begin the conversation. So in my Instagram, I have tried multiple platforms, but it just doesn't work. So I'm really active on Instagram. So, and all my links are in my bio. And you can always DM me there. So you can always find me on Instagram. That's the best way.
Okay, perfect. Well, you heard it here first. You can find her on Instagram. And then, yes, get out there, book a consultation. Just start to educate yourself on finances so that you can build a legacy for yourself and your future generations. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what it's about.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and, you know, share your knowledge, share your story. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully I brought value. Yes. And I just want to say to you, keep doing what you're doing, providing this amazing platform for individuals to come and share their stories. Sharing your story, every time anyone shares their story, it's going to touch somebody. Oh, and yeah. If we continue to share our story and touch one individual, one family, make a difference, then that's what it's about. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the platform. Continued success to you and your beautiful family as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Leadership. I hope today's insights have ignited your passion for empowered and purpose-driven leadership. I hope we were able to shed upon you the importance of learning and building a financial future for yourself, learning about financial literacy, and just taking those steps and being courageous to step out of the norm and what you're used to, and to educate yourself to have a better life. And if you'd enjoyed this episode, please like, share it with future leaders, and subscribe. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. And until next time, keep thriving, keep leading, keep growing. This is Dakota signing out.